If indexing to an astrological sign is moral realism, then surely indexing to a perfect, perfectly good, unchanging God is also moral realism.
Well, it depends how we set things up. So this is why I was first asking what we think realism is, just to make sure we're on the same page. It sounded like you said your view was of the non-naturalist variety. So the way I understand moral realism, I think this is standard in the contemporary metaethics literature, is it's the view that moral statements are truth apt, at least one is true, and their stance independently true. Do you mean moral realism in some different way?
Okay, well, let's say the way that I framed it. I say the following.
The way I'm asking about...
I'm accepting it and giving you... I'm confused.
Sorry, I just want to make sure that I'm misunderstanding.
No. It's my show.
I'm saying I don't understand.
Careful.
I need to understand what you're saying. Hello? Okay.
I was told Wick...
SFS has to watch the first 30 minutes of this.
...had me in waiting in the wings to do a debate, me and some other attorney, a lefty attorney, against Pisco and Josiah on court packing. Wick bumped me for f***ing Connor. Why did Wick bump me for Connor? Is it because Connor's going through a hard time? Is it because Josiah didn't want to get blown the f*** out? Almost certainly. Wick said it was his fault, but here's what I think happened. I think Josiah said, I don't want to debate Ryan.
I messed up. It was my fault. I booked wrong. I had to make a choice between whether I'm going to have counterpoints on or whether I'm going to have Ryan Mullally on.
By the way, just so you guys know, the reason why this happened was because behind the scenes, I told Wick that I was going to cut him off from his $7,000 a month DGG check if he didn't bump Ryan, after also telling him to ban Doobie and every single one of his friends from his server. And Wick acquiesced to every demand I made. That's why he got
bumped.
But
you wanted to ban Connor.
For a variety of reasons.
That was before Connor backstabbed me. That's why Connor actually backstabbed me. Nobody knows the real story, but it's because Connor found that out, but he didn't want to blow up Wick.
Right?
Were any of those reasons because Josiah said a single thing to you?
No. Josiah was not consulted in any of this, right?
Oh my God.
Oh. Then why are you lying? Stop. Why are you lying and saying that you concede when you don't actually concede?
My personal integrity matters less to me than the future of my
country. So you lie when it's convenient.
Hey guys, welcome back to Modern Day Debate. We have a lawyer versus lawyer today. We got Pisco and Ryan Mullally. Mullally. I'm going to get it right by the end of this.
It's all right. No one in history ever has.
Awesome. Well, that makes me feel better. So the proposition tonight is that the Democrats are justified in expanding the Supreme Court. We got Pisco on the affirmative here, and then Mr. Mullally taking the... Yeah, I got it that time.
Nice.
Taking the stance against. So we're going to get right into it.
This is just 60 minutes back and forth, right?
Yeah. I'll try not to interrupt too much unless there's someone severely over talking the other. But generally, you know, I'm sure you guys know how to be respectful here and let each other talk. So go ahead.
Yeah. I thought a lot of what Ryan just said is like bluster and non-relevant stuff. I have a logically valid argument, and I'd like to know which premise that you're unconvinced by.
Okay, Pisco, let's dive into it. First of all, can you explain to the audience what logically valid means and it doesn't mean? Because I think that's confusing for a lot of people.
I think I already did. If the premises are true, then the conclusion follows.
Okay. So you're...
Technically, that would be logically sound, not logically valid.
Your assertion is that this is a logically valid argument.
Yeah.
Okay. And it just means that it doesn't mean that the premises are true. It doesn't mean that the argument's a good argument.
But I don't know what you mean by good. You mean sound?
How does... I'm sorry. I thought the LSAT was like all fucking logic games. How do you not know like philosophy high school terms for this? I guess it's been like fucking 50 years since he went to law school. I don't know. Whatever, dude.
It doesn't mean that the premises are true. It doesn't mean that the argument's a good argument.
But I don't know what you mean by good. You mean sound?
Yeah, sound. Fine.
Yes, sound. Yeah. So, like, an argument is sound if the...
I don't know why Pisco, he's speaking as a layman here. Like, good, sound? Like, these are not equivalent terms. We're going to be hardcore philosophy.
Conclusion follows from the premises necessarily, and the premises are all true. And I take the premises here to all be true. I'm just asking which of these premises you take issue with.
I take issue with a bunch of them. But
okay.
But
one at
a
time.
To get there, Pisco, we're going to have to just test... Let's test the basics first.
Okay.
On the top of the page, it says an argument from self-defense.
Yeah.
I feel very threatened by the Democrats' plan to add 4 justices to the court and pack the Senate. I feel deeply threatened. Am I justified, Pisco?
Yeah. That's
Am I justified in packing the court?
That's just the title I gave the argument. That's not any argument.
Pisco, nobody but you cares about your argument. So am I just...
Oh, no.
You can't even engage. Man, Pisco even took the time to write it all out. And Ryan can't even engage with it. He wrote it all out for you right here.
I think that the argument, if the premises...
You know what, I bet? Actually, I don't know this, but if you were to look at Pisco's VODs from the days before, did Pisco work on this on stream? It's so funny because people always say, like, aren't you worried about your debate opponent sniping you? Aren't you worried about them stalking your arguments? No, nobody does. Nobody does, like, the bare amount of homework to counter any argument whatsoever. Nobody ever does this. It wouldn't surprise me if Pisco actually worked this out beforehand, and Ryan could have just had this written down and then had prepared responses, and they could have gone back and forth, but...
premises are true, then the conclusion, which is the proposition of the debate, follows. And so,
you're not going to answer if the Republicans are justified in packing the court? Why
if,
not?
If the Republicans are the injured party, they would be justified under the argument. It's a neutral
Pisco,
argument.
You're a lawyer. You're a lawyer. You know what self-defense means. Do I need to let somebody injure me before I have a right to self-defense?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not trying to dox anybody. I'm not calling for anything. Not being anything like that, okay, or whatever. But are we sure that Ryan is actually a lawyer? Like, has he gone to law school and gotten his, what do you call it, legal license, his bar certification? He is listed on a law site. Okay, I think this is called a syllogism, which is like types of simple premise-y arguments that lead to a conclusion, okay? This is a real quick thing. All men are mortal, okay? The great philosopher Secundus is a man, therefore Secundus is a mortal, okay? Let's assume that this said that all men are immortal and Secundus is a man, therefore Secundus is immortal, right? Valid just means that if these are true, then the conclusion can be deduced from the two premises, right? So if we said that all men are immortal, Secundus is a man, therefore Secundus is immortal, this would be a valid argument. If these are true, then the conclusion can be deduced from the premises, okay? But we know that all men are not immortal. That would be unsound. Sound is when your premises are true and the conclusion can be deduced from the premises, okay? So all men are mortal. Secundus is a man. Therefore, Secundus is a mortal. So we would say this is a valid and sound argument, or you could just say sound argument, okay? Pisco has created, I think you would call it a syllogism, right? Pisco has created his argument here. If you want to, in a formal setting, if you want to reject Pisco's argument, you need to either show that the argument is invalid, meaning the conclusion doesn't necessarily follow from the premises. If I say that all men are mortal, Secundus is a man, therefore Secundus likes the color blue or something, right? It's a non sequitur. It can't be deduced from the premises. You could argue, well, even if both your premises are true, the conclusion does not logically follow. It can't be deduced from the two premises. So you can either attack the validity of the argument or you can attack the soundness of the argument. You can say, well, I don't think all men are mortal. For instance, Destiny survives bullet after bullet. Nobody can take this guy down. He must be immortal, right? Therefore, your conclusion doesn't logically follow because Secundus could be immortal as well. Or you have to change your syllogism somewhat, right? So all Pisco is saying is like, okay, here's my argument. You can attack the validity of it. You can say my conclusion as well. Or you can attack my premises and say one of them are invalid, okay? Instead, we're getting all men are mortal. Secundus is a man. Therefore, Secundus is a mortal. And then Ryan is going, in countries that have expanded healthcare, those people actually live way longer. And it's just not really an argument at all related to this. It sounds like somebody is arguing, I'm only going to be harsh here because one, Ryan is a massive cockbag piece of shit. And two, because he is supposedly a lawyer, so he should know better because all the fucking LSAT is a bunch of jerk off philosophy, you know, deduction shit. He should understand this. And three, he's in like an online fucking debate space. He should know how to do basic. It's like very basic stuff, if you're especially for a legal lawyer brain guy and everything else. And I'm pretty sure Pisco's been running around with this argument for like a week or two. So right now, Ryan is not attacking any of the premises, and he hasn't challenged the validity of the argument. He's just arguing about the something loosely related to the title of the argument, saying it's not self-defense. It's fucking retarded.
You know what self-defense means. Do I need to let somebody injure me before I have a right to self-defense?
Yeah, so I take that as a derail. It's not within the argument, but it is
true. Correct.
It is a neutral argument. If
Pisco,
if
nobody, the condition, I'm going to tell you this honestly, if the condition, cares about your syllogism. Nobody cares.
Well, this is so, the argument that I've come to present. And so are you saying that you don't have a basis to reject any of the premises?
No, Pisco, what I care about is the fact that your party is tyrannically planning to lock them.
It should. I know they have to have like a whole show and everything, but like I would say here, you should appeal to the moderator, and then it's an auto loss. If Pisco was tasked with providing the affirmative argument, he's satisfied that this is an affirmative argument. If Ryan is too stupid to engage, then it should just be an auto loss if he can't engage with the argument. This is retarded. But, okay.
...themselves in power and lock the Republicans out of power for generations.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. What is this? Oh, my God. He's editing a screenshot.
And lock the Republicans out of power for generations.
Yeah, that's not
what I care about.
That's not in the argument.
Your syllogism means nothing to me.
So you don't want to.
then you lose. You auto lose. You can't. It sounds like you're not able to do. He put an affirmative argument. Like, if you can't counter the argument, then you just leave. I don't know. Just...
Less about it. No, so, how about this, Pisco? We can make this very easy. Do you disavow the plan to add four justices in Pact 13?
No, but I don't. But that's not the proposition of the debate.
No, I don't.
But that's tangential.
Okay, so
that's,
if you disavow, that's tangential. You don't disavow, that's condemn it, then
Ryan, calm.
No. That's
tangential. I presented
do you
an argument.
Disavow and condemn the plan to add extra.
This is just rhetoric. This is just rhetoric. This is rhetoric. Can we just address the argument?
Do you disavow and condemn,
Pisco? Wait. That's rhetoric.
That's
rhetoric. I just want to address my argument. Can we address?
Ryan was the one who brought that exact prompt to modern day debates. Pisco shows the DM in the intro. Nice.
Yes, Pisco. Yes or no? I'll give you your famous one.
He's trying to yes or no, but he's not even.
Yes or no, Pisco?
So I just I already told you condemn? I don't disavow the plan by Rokana. I don't disavow it, but I've already answered that. So now I'd like to address my argument for the debate proposition. Is that all right?
No. No.
King. Ryan is a king.
I brought an argument to the debate proposition. And you don't want to address it. Why?
We're going to get to it, but I just want to make sure the audience understands what you're saying.
Yeah, this is just rhetoric and posturing.
You support.
It's just posturing.
To 13 members, correct?
That's one of several solutions that I'm okay with, but like that's not the proposition.
You won't disavow it. Your party's advocating for it. You won't disavow it.
I won't disavow it, but like I'm trying to give you an argument in favor of it, and you don't want to address it.
And you will not disavow, Pisco. You will not disavow packing the Senate.
The argument isn't about what I'm going to disavow or not. The argument is whether it's justified.
But you won't disavow it.
We're not here to do posturing and rhetoric and stuff.
Why not, Pisco?
Because it's a debate.
I'm here to defend my country from tyranny, Pisco.
It's a debate.
That's what I'm here to do.
Okay, so are you here to debate the proposition or not?
Pisco. What I'm here to do is point out that the Democrats are on the verge, based on the thinnest veneer.
That's
of
not the debate proposition.
To lock them.
That's not the debate proposition.
Power forever.
That's
and
not what we're here to debate.
Your silly argument.
Do you want to debate something? So we agreed to a debate prompt, and now you're saying you want to debate something else.
Well, Pisco, what you want to do, what your party wants to do, what you will
not disavow. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about
lock
court
the
expansion.
Republicans out of power. Pisco, how about this? Tell me you don't want to lock the Republicans out of power.
Yeah, no, that's tangential to the topic.
Do you want
that's tangential to the topic. We're here to debate the court expansion measures.
Pisco, yeah, I do think we should Republicans out of power. Try to stay as close to the topic as possible.
We agreed to a topic. Let's stick to it. I provided an argument for that proposition.
Am I going to get an answer about whether you would like to lock the Republicans out of power?
I view that as a derail. I've already answered some of your derail questions, and I've already chosen not to correct some of your false assertions in your intro, but it has nothing to do with what we're here to debate. It could be the case that
we're not going to get an answer to that.
It's not what we're here to debate. I think I have to stand my ground and say we're here to argue a point, a specific point, and you trying to derail and use rhetoric is not effective and it's not convincing anyone.
I think the audience understands exactly why you won't disavow that, and that's more than
I think they understand.
Is he serious? Is this Ryan guy? Okay.
Why you're not willing to address the argument? So, and if you were confident, you would.
Let's go to your
perfect.
Nonsense.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to your nonsense argument.
Okay, nonsense. So he has to attack the validity, or he has to attack one of the premises. All right.
Okay. Which premise do you disagree with?
Premise 5. There is no reason to expect a severe consequence cascade.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Why on earth would the Republicans not repack the court the next time they have power?
I'm not saying that they wouldn't.
So you think that that's not a severe consequence cascade if the parties just keep expanding the court over and over and over again?
I view that as preferable to the status quo.
Your argument doesn't say it's preferable to the status quo. Your argument says there's no severe consequence cascade.
You don't think
the court over and over again would be a severe consequence cascade?
Yeah, I view the consequences relative to, you know, a status quo of some sort. If, for example, it's not making things worse in any respect compared to taking the action, I don't view that as making things worse. It's making things better. So it's not even a consequence.
So if your proposal leads to a 100-member Supreme Court where every couple of years we had new judges in there, the Constitution totally changes, all the rulings totally change, that wouldn't be a severe consequence cascade?
I don't think that outcome is precisely speaking likely, the 100-person
thing.
Why not? Because we've never seen examples of this kind of thing before. When has that happened?
Because you're proposing something unprecedented.
That's not
unprecedented. Your party is proposing a 4-person partisan pack. It's never been done in the history of the United States.
So first of all,
it's never been done.
The argument is not indexed.
Unprecedented, then it turns out you might get an unprecedented outcome.
Are you conceding that you don't have any examples of this occurring?
Pisco, you're proposing something unprecedented. You are proposing something unprecedented.
I don't think the debate. So I'm not.
Oh, do you have examples?
So let's
of how
pause.
This turns
quick.
Out. Well, you're doing something unprecedented.
So, so, so
can
so,
you name? Can so, you name for me a time when they did a 4-person partisan pact?
The argument isn't specific to a number of justices. So
well,
my argument is not indexed.
Do you disavow the 13-person pact?
No, I don't. But that's not what we're here to
do
debate.
Do you condemn it?
We're here to debate court expansion, right?
Are you aware that James Carville said that Democrats should?
Yeah, Rokana is not the Democrats.
Yeah, James Carville is who I said. That James Carville said that the Democrats should not talk about it. They should hide their power level. They should get into power and then just do it.
Why is it relevant what James Carville said? I thought we were here to debate what's likely.
Nobody should trust you saying, we're going to.
The argument isn't the debate isn't whether you can trust me.
Pisco, I'm just giving an argument to pack it to 10.
My character isn't at issue here, right? Wait, wait, wait. Do you think my argument is the debate? My character is the debate?
Pisco.
Is my character the debate?
The Democrats are planning to pack it to 13.
Is my character the debate?
You support packing it to 13.
Yeah, but we're debating court expansion generally. Balls,
somebody said get in on this. No, I have a blacklist for this guy for good reason. Okay, I did the Rob Noor and him convo because it was like just a whatever thing at the end of stream, but I don't think I would ever do a formal debate with him again. He's like obviously a bad faith actor, and it's no moderator has ever been able to like constrain his autism. Like, it's just too stupid. It was just like dumb as fuck.
To argue the thing you actually support. Why should anyone take you seriously? Well, why would anyone care about
why don't we start with just the minimal condition for
condition because that's not what that's the logical Democrats are proposing, Pisco.
Wait, no,
I don't care
but my
about
argument
your logical syllogism, Pisco. I'm defending my country and your party.
So you don't want to debate the proposition. You want to
I don't give a shit about the proposition. What I'm telling you, Pisco, is that your party is advocating for rampant tyranny, and you won't even disavow it.
I don't think this,
you don't even have the courtesy to disavow it.
If you wanted to come to debate a particular plan, you should have told the debate organizers that's what you wanted to debate.
Is expanding to 13 within expanding the court, Pisco? Is that within?
It's a subset, but it's not the only.
Could be expanding with one. I think Pisco in his intro even said it could be blocking one of their judges, or there could be other ways to do it, but.
It's a subset, but it's not the only. Yeah.
And is it a subset that you personally support?
It's one of many measures that I would support. But why don't we start
supported by the Democratic Party?
Some, but not all.
Defend your position. Let's take this hypothetical position that your party's not taking. It's all hypothetical, right?
So I'm going to propose. So I would be okay with a 2-person core pack. That's a position that I've expressed.
Fuck. I feel like Pisco shouldn't even give this. Pisco doesn't need to list a specific plan. Ryan is making him take way more of a specific position than what is required by the prompt of this conversation. But
before, I think that the additional 2 with Rokana, that is enough for mild deterrence. But why don't we just not get into that more complicated factor and just look at something? Why?
Because, Pisco, recently you went on and you said, we can talk about 13, which I support. That's a quote from you. This is your position.
No, but that's not what we agreed to debate about. We agreed to debate about core expansion.
So, I'm debating to save my country from your tyranny. I care.
I take that to be like meta and rhetoric and posturing and like.
I care not at all.
Okay, so then maybe you should have just done a speech instead of like doing a debate. I mean, that's a speech.
So, yeah, true.
I am here to alert people to the vast danger that your party is posing.
So you weren't here
to
debate. You're not here to debate.
Unchecked danger that your party is posing.
Are you here to debate or not?
And here's the deal. You won't even debate the position you hold.
Well,
you won't debate the position your party holds.
I want to debate the position we agreed to. We agreed to a proposition. That's what I want to debate.
If you are happy to disavow 13,
I don't, but it's tangential to what we agreed to debate about.
Pisco,
we agreed to debate on a specific thing, and you want to debate like a harder, I guess, in your view, defend version of that.
You proposed it. I said you can take it however you want. I'm talking about what your party actually
Do you think a two-person expansion would be an expansion?
I don't care about some narcissistic competition between you and me. You are trying to rape our country with tyranny on behalf of a party that is packing the court to 13 and expanding the Senate by 2 states to lock the Democrats out of power, and you won't even disavow it. You don't even have the courtesy to disavow it, and you expect me to play mind games
with
you?
I'm trying to actually focus us on the thing that we agreed to talk about.
I don't care what you are trying to focus on, Pisco. You support 13. Defend it.
Yeah, but like we can schedule a debate on 13, and I'm happy to do it right now.
If you want
to
quit, quit.
Well, that's not what we're here to debate. So you're not here to defend.
Are you going to condemn it?
Well, no, we can schedule a debate for the 13
Pisco,
if you want.
Are you going to condemn it or not?
No, I would support it. It's just
then
not.
We're talking about 13, and I'm going to talk about 13.
No, that's not a proposition. That's not what we agreed to debate about.
I don't care.
You don't care about our agreement on the debate?
I don't care about the agreement. I care about the future of my country and saving it from the tyranny
that you
want to impose.
So are you conceding the proposition then?
Pisco.
Are you conceding the proposition?
I don't care about the proposition at all. I care about the fact that
you are advocating
for open tyranny.
You don't care
care more about some mind game competition between the two of us. You care more about some narcissistic debate prompt.
I care about what we agreed to debate about.
Narcissistic debate prompt. Wasn't it his prompt?
Well, then, if you care about the future of
the country,
you just
said you don't care about that.
And you think 13 is good, then you should be able to defend 13.
I can. We can schedule that if you want.
Okay, 13, go.
But the debate that I came here to actually have with you is the debate about what we agree to debate about. That's what I think we should do.
Pisco, no, I do not care about that at all.
You don't agree about the agreement we had to debate this thing?
Not at all. all. When you are advocating for tyrannical control of the country.
That's just
under
rhetoric,
one-party
Ryan.
Rule.
Ryan, that's just rhetoric. Okay,
it's like, your position.
I don't want the meta. I just want the actual debate.
If 13's not tyranny, defend it.
Yeah, I will.
We
can schedule a debate on the 13. I just thought
we could schedule it later, Pisco?
Yeah, we can if you want.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, or you could concede the proposition and we can talk Pisco. About the 13 right now.
We talk about the 13 right now. I don't care about the proposition.
I want you.
I don't care about the proposition.
I do want to clarify if I should consider that a concession on this specific proposition.
I am happy to talk about whatever. Sure, I concede. Pisco,
you concede. Okay,
13.
So you concede the Democrats are justified in court expansion. Just be clear.
No, I obviously think that's bullshit.
And why are you lying? Wait. Wait a second. Why are you lying and saying that you concede when you don't actually concede?
Because my personal integrity matters less to me than the future of my country.
So you lie when it's convenient.
You are open to tyrannizing the country.
So you lie when
it's
convenient. You won't
even defend your proposition.
So you lie when it's convenient.
Would I lie to defend my country from tyranny? Yes. Would you?
In the context of this debate, you're lying because it's convenient for you to do.
You won't even defend the proposition. Position you hold.
I would, but I want to debate the thing we agreed to.
Well, Pisco, I don't give a shit about that. Defend 13. Go. That's what the Democrats are
I'm not going to move to a different proposition until we get like a finality on the actual thing we agreed
to. We have finality. Go.
But no, we don't. You had a fake concession and by your own terms, a lie
yes,
to concede.
It is. I'm obviously lying when I concede. Go.
Yeah, no, but 13, I don't want a fake concession. I want an actual resolution on the thing we
okay,
debate
Pisco.
About.
Well, you're not going to get it. 13.
What? Wait a second. We had an agreement. You and I, we had an agreement about what to debate about. And
hey,
now you're just going back on
if
it.
If you had the opportunity to break an agreement to stop Donald Trump from doing the false labor.
Depends on the agreement.
Would you have broken that agreement?
Depends on the agreement.
Okay. Well, what you're proposing, you're not even sure about that?
Depends on the agreement.
Okay. You're not even sure that you would. I think you've described that as authoritarian, fascist, all
yeah,
kinds of things.
Depends
you
on the agreement.
Break an agreement to solve that? Would you break an
depends
agreement with me
on
about it? Would you break an agreement with me about a debate prompt?
It depends on the nature of what's at stake, but like this
is pretty low stakes.
The concept, yeah, that's why it makes no sense to lie about it, right? Like it's not that whether this debate happens or not, the thing's going to happen.
Progress made in the debate? Nothing.
You know?
Pisco, real quick. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of asking if you could just lower your mic slightly.
Oh, sure.
Here's the issue, Pisco. What your party is proposing, I view as...
Do you agree this is more bad faith than Rob? Ooh, that's a hard one. Rob Noor and Ryan Mullaly, I think, are bad faith in similar ways and in different ways. I think... Rob Noor will actually like research stuff and be very selective about the things that he presents or knows about. And it's like very clear that he has like massive confirmation bias going on when he's doing his research to the point where I would consider it like a form of bad faith. Ryan kind of does that. Like he has selective knowledge, but I feel like he's a little bit more rhetorically snaky. Like I would say that Ryan Mullaly is like closer to Andrew Wilson than I would say Rob Noor is. That we're like measuring like specific degrees of bad faith. It's kind of... Yeah, it's kind of hard to say exactly, but yeah.
Worse than anything they have accused Trump of doing. This is the worst, most tyrannical thing I have heard. And by the way, Pisco, when I preferred Trump in 2024...
Don't you think in this specific case they've made zero progress solely because of Ryan trying to weasel and Pisco just not budging? Kind of. I mean, nobody like really pays attention to this, but I would blame the moderator here in this case. Like, Pisco came with an affirmative argument. He has a prompt. Ryan, in the beginning, was unwilling to engage with it. He wanted to filibuster and then do rhetoric. And then now he's having a really difficult time navigating a formal argument, and he just wants to, like, blow things up to kind of more larger meta concepts like, oh, retribution or whatever, and he's unwilling to engage. But I mean, like, this is all on Ryan and then maybe on the moderator for not intervening enough.
I sacrificed my vote. I didn't vote for him because I thought what he did with the false slate of electors was disqualifying. You, on the other hand, are openly advocating for this tyranny. You're openly advocating for it, and you don't even have the balls to defend it. You don't even have the balls.
You can't say
what
that,
you
Ryan,
want
to
do,
I am willing
Pisco,
to defend that.
What,
but I
so
also
defend
wanna,
it.
I am willing to defend it. And I just told you we can schedule a debate for that.
This is the lawyer's banality. Let me point to this little technicality, and hopefully you won't see that what we're planning to do is lock the Republicans out of power.
Ryan, it's not a technicality. It's
do you,
what,
Pisco, so, do you so, favor so, locking the Republicans out of power?
So that's not a technicality, what you're referencing.
Pisco, do you favor locking the Republicans out of power?
Like, are you sorry for killing your wife? Are you sorry for killing your wife? I was like, bro, what? How the fuck am I supposed to engage with this?
Technicality. It's whether
Pisco, do you favor locking the Republicans out of power?
It's not a technicality. So I want to address what you just said. You said that I'm doing something like
Pisco, do you favor locking the Republicans out of power?
Like, you're just doing rhetoric. You're just doing rhetoric right now. It's not helping. I'm trying
yes
to defend
no,
myself.
Pisco?
So we had an agreement. I'm not going to get like sandbagged by you on a different proposition.
Do I favor locking?
That's not the prompt. Oh my God.
The Democrats out of power. No.
Yeah.
I
no.
don't.
You're so virtuous. I think that's wonderful. We're all here to just virtue signal. That's what you're doing right now.
Well, it's a very, very easy question, Pisco. Yeah, it shouldn't be that
I'm a great. You're a great person, except you lie about trivial.
You can't answer the question whether you favor locking the Republicans out of power.
It's tangential. I don't want to get a derail.
You can't favor it. You can't answer that.
No, I have an answer, but I just want to derail. Do you understand that?
How about this? Do you think we should live in a world where people in California and New York run everything?
Yeah, just more rhetoric. I mean, that's about as relevant as your Senate position was. I mean, these are all irrelevant.
But would you deny that position? You think we'd be in a better world if California and New York ran the show?
I have a view on what you just said, but I think at this point, I'm not going to entertain any more derails. And I think that we should
see
on the proposition, or you can engage it and have the debate.
I'll just read some fun quotes from Pisco then.
what? Like, the moderators at least have been here and like, hey, stop. What are we doing here, guys?
Is this
back in the day when
this really is this really debates
when he was Pisco 95? He had a chat with Destiny called "The Problems with Packing the Supreme Court: Discussion with Law Student Pisco 95." And at the 30-minute mark, he said, "Don't you think we live in a better world if California's running the show and New York are running the show? Isn't that a better plan? Isn't that a better world?" You can go look it up for yourself. Here's another conversation that Pisco recently had. He went on the Brad Palumbo show with actual Justice Warrior Sean, and he was asked
about
the ratchet issue. The ratchet issue, Pisco, which is
my character and
a premise in your debate. Hey, this is a premise in your argument, Pisco. This is a premise in your argument.
Which premise is that? Can you actually tell me which premise?
Nope.
There will not be a cascade of consequences.
Yeah, go for it.
How was that?
Brad brought up the ratchet effect. And Pisco said, quote, "What you present as a negative," in reference to the ratchet effect, that is to say the ratchet, the back and forth, that's a virtue. And Brad Palumbo then clarified,
then.
Quote, "That's a virtue." And you said,
I
quote,
"I can explain why
it is a virtue." Yeah. I'm not done reading the quote yet, Pisco. Yeah. And Brad continued, quote, "When it leads to the point that we have 100 members of the Supreme Court," and you said, "I'll tell you why."
Kind of weird that he has this ready, but likely never wanted to debate the first topic and just pivoted to this. Yeah, especially if it's the case that Pisco was running around on Twitter with this argument beforehand. He had the opportunity to see the argument and engage with it and start to attack it. Like the fact that he took specific care to prepare and then not prepare for the actual debate that's kind of crazy, but yeah.
And then Brad said, "And it becomes a joke, and presidents will just disregard its rulings eventually. Would we be in a better or worse place?" And you said, "You might be befuddled by it, but it's a virtue." Brad said, "We have 100 member Supreme
Moderator,
Court, and people ignore the rulings,
the quote? I mean,
and
if
you
we're gonna
call
do this kind of sandbagging,
virtue,
yeah, I mean, I will,
and you're just going to talk over when I'm trying to explain it. So at least when it comes to legislative court packing, you have the virtue of bicameralism and presentment. And what you present as a negative, that is to say, the ratchet, the back and forth, that's a virtue. The fact that you can have a legislative
that's
court
a virtue.
Up, it is
a
virtue.
To a point where there's
I'll tell
100
you
members of the Supreme Court.
I'll tell you why.
And it becomes a joke. And presidents will just disregard its rulings eventually.
I'll tell you why it's
a
virtue.
Better or worse place.
You might be befuddled by it, but it is a virtue. And the reason is the fact that it's more peculiar circumstances to do what Mitch McConnell did. You need to have this situation in which the president is in control and you have a Senate on the other party. That means that there isn't parity in terms of the options available to both sides. And so it's uneven on that view. So it's more undemocratic. You don't have bicameralism. You don't have presentment to the president. And the circumstances of the non-legislative court packing are more rare and weird and more unique to the Republican majority in the Senate. And those are virtues that you can't contend with. In what sense is it better to have that than the legislative court packing? You're like the ratchet. Why is that worse than having a permanently skewed court? So you, first of all, I shouldn't even entertain this derail. It has nothing.
True. How does this go on for 2 more hours? Do they ever actually get back to the argument, or is it just
do a conversation on that? I'm happy to talk about what we think for the Senate, or expanding the Senate for Puerto Rico and other places. We can schedule debates on that. I don't shy away from my positions at all. I'm proud of them. I think that they're justified. And when there's a particular debate that we schedule on one of those topics, that's what I want to debate. And I'm happy to say, and we can schedule whenever he wants to have a debate on those other matters. But as with respect to the proposition, there's just no reason to believe that the parade of horribles that he's talking about is going to come to fruition. There have been examples of court packs in this motivated by partisan reasons in this country's history, in the U.S. Supreme Court. We didn't descend into the breakdown of the rule of law because of those court packs. That didn't occur. That's also happened in the context of state Supreme Courts. We didn't descend into a severe consequence cascade in Georgia, in Arizona, and in Utah. Have you heard any bit of empirical evidence for that claim? And if there is no reason to believe that there will be a severe consequence cascade, in fact, in my opinion, all of those consequences, or at least most of them, will be improved, right? Those conditions, that is to say, the public's view of the legitimacy of the court will be improved. The actual consistency of the rulings will be improved. The intermediate appellate courts and the district courts applying the rulings, that clarity will be improved. As a matter of just administration and caseload, that will be improved as well. So I don't actually think that there's a basis to believe that these severe consequence cascades could happen. And what we're left with is, I think, an intuitive moral notion that most people agree with and know, which is we ought to the extent possible, repair injuries that were done without justification, wrongs that were done, if it's possible to heal them in such a way as it doesn't create a set of
believe them, you don't have to believe them to support. You don't have to believe them to support a measure. And I'm asking you why? Why don't you support Puerto Rican? Why don't you support Puerto Rican?
Because it is a partisan attempt to lock the Republicans out of power.
Why do you not support Puerto Ricans having a right to vote?
Because I think it is a partisan attempt to lock the Republicans out of power.
But do you think Republicans should be in favor of it?
No.
Wait, why?
Because I don't think that Puerto Rico should be in a state is necessarily a good idea, but that would be a whole other topic.
In virtue of what is it not a good idea? Oh, it's a whole other topic now. Yeah, it's a whole other topic. It's a whole topic.
For example, imposing U.S. law on minimum wage, on contracts, on a whole variety of other things would be a good idea.
I legitimately don't know. I'm sorry. Does U.S. federal law not reign supreme in Puerto Rico? Do they have a completely and totally separate legal system? Do Puerto Ricans have to follow U.S. federal law? Yes. Okay. I don't know what the fuck that means, but okay.
In Puerto Rico. Because? And furthermore, because they have a totally different economy than we do, Pisco, because there are problems.
Totally different economy. What is he? They use our currency. They're restricted to all the same things that we are in the United States. Like, it's not like Puerto Rico can go and manage their own trade deals. It's a territory of the U.S. They can't go and make deals with countries or join trade unions against us or use their own currency. Am I missing something? What is he talking about? Like, Puerto Rico it's a U.S. territory. They have U.S. passports. They're citizens of the United States of America. Wait, what does he think Puerto Rico is? Like a foreign country that's kind of like I don't even know.
And furthermore, because they have a totally different economy than we do, Pisco, because there are problems.
Different economy?
Example,
so does Texas. No voting for president or Congress.
If you impose a minimum wage on Guam, what happens?
A minimum wage? I don't fucking know. I don't know the
It becomes illegal to work because nobody makes fucking minimum wage in Guam.
Yeah, I don't know. So there might be reasons to tailor your remedy as not to destroy the economy of the given places. But in general, I think it's kind of weird that you're like, oh, I'm against giving
What is Guam's minimum wage? Guam's current minimum wage is $9.25 per hour. Is our federal minimum wage still $7.25? What is the U.S. federal minimum wage? Is $7.25 an hour? Does he just think every single person in Guam is like a poor, destitute native islander, like hunting with spears and arrows? I like how he's just so comfortable. Dude, I need this skill. I gotta have this skill. I don't know if I need to drink a little or maybe do some Quaaludes or I don't know what kind of drug you need to bring you to this level. You're like, I'm just going to fucking make shit up, bro. Donald Trump went to a great school. Trump failed half his classes, bro. Like, if I just said shit like that, I would be so powerful. Trump actually failed almost every class. You didn't know that, did you? Fuck. That guy didn't know that. He had no idea. Donald Trump didn't even graduate from college. Why do you think he always says he went to school? He didn't graduate. Oh, shit. The guy wouldn't know that. He'd have no idea.
Minimum wage on Guam. What happens?
Minimum wage? I don't fucking know. I don't know.
I like how he's not even stating what would happen. He's asking like he's laying a trap. This guy is laying a trap with supplies that he doesn't have. He like covered... it's like imagine you like dig a big hole and put spikes at the bottom and you cover it with leaves. He just like covered a spot on the ground with leaves and then Pisco walked on it, but there's like not even a hole there. Like what do you think would happen in Guam with a federal minimum wage? Like their minimum wage is higher than ours, but he's like so confident. And Pisco doesn't know. What an idiot. Pisco doesn't know the minimum wage in Guam. What a moron.
It becomes illegal to work because nobody makes fucking minimum wage in Guam.
Yeah, I don't know. So there might be reasons to tailor your remedy as not to destroy the economy of the given places. But in general, I think it's kind of weird that you're like, oh, I'm against giving representation to a place because their economy is different.
No, that's true.
I'm
against giving
Oh, thank you, moderator. Yeah, we can't go back and forth on this. Thank you.
Representation to a place because it's clear that the entire purpose of the conversation is absolutely partisan power, which you have endorsed as a good rationale in multiple conversations.
Well, here it's
like Alito did with gerrymandering for partisan purposes, that's totally a-okay to partisan gerrymander all over the United States, but allowing new states into the union is not good if there might be a political partisan bend to that. Isn't that always going to be the case? So that means no more new states unless it's 50-50 voters. We have to do a poll. Well, if you would vote for the Republicans or Democrats, if it's not 50-50, you're not allowed in the union, I guess. Okay.
Overdetermined. It's a good idea because it helps Democrats, in my view, but it's also more foundationally, and it's independent rationale because they deserve to have sovereignty, the people of Puerto Rico.
All right, so this next one here, kicking it back over to Pisco. Lenny Grad sends five. He says, Pisco, can you engage with the necessary entailments of your argument without dismissing them as irrelevant to the letter of the argument?
I absolutely can. Yeah, no, I absolutely can deal with the necessary entailments of the argument. I don't know. No, what are you raising that's a problematic necessary entailment? if you don't spell out what the problematic necessary entailment is, then I don't understand what, or the thing that's such an absurd consequence, then I can't really respond to it. I don't think that there are, maybe there is, maybe we can work together to find some absurd situation, but I don't think Ryan's done a good job of showing what the absurd necessary entailments are.
Pisco has said that the consequence cascade won't happen, and the reason that he said that is because he believes the status quo is so horrible that even if you get to a 100-member Supreme Court, as Brad Palumbo said, it would be virtuous because a 100-member Supreme Court would be better than the status quo. So go watch the conversations he's had. He's had multiple conversations. It's all documented. So like, Pisco has gone on record saying that it would be radical not to pack the Supreme Court because he thinks the status quo is that terrible. So if he thinks the status quo is that terrible, then okay, I guess he just doesn't care about the consequence cascade. But yeah, I think it obviously would be a consequence cascade. The only way to prevent it would be to lock the Republicans out of power.
But no. So this is what I'd look for evidence of a consequence cascade, right? Things like this happening before and causing that, right?
Nothing like this has ever happened before.
But that's on your assumption it's a four-person pack, which isn't entailed in the proposition.
It is the thing the Democrats want to do.
But that's not what we're here to debate, Ryan. You would point to evidence of things like...
I don't care about your argument or your nonsensical sentence.
I'm here to have a debate, but I don't care about your argument or the prompt. I want to debate the Dem. I want to debate somebody who's not here on a prompt that we didn't agree to. Actual king.
Yeah, same wash tyranny, please. Okay, go. Okay, cool. I don't care. Cool. Okay, I'm here to defend the country, not talk
about
the
you're not here to actually debate the proposition. Got it. Yeah, we all understand that. So putting that aside, right, I would look to historical evidence of like similar things causing this. I would look to contemporary examples of state Supreme Court pacts where such things have occurred. I would point to some kind of like data or something, or some kind of like strong intuitive feeling perhaps that I would share. But there was nothing like that on offer. It was just like, this hasn't happened before, therefore it will happen. I mean, I just don't understand why that's compelling.
Ryan, quick response, the next one's for you here.
This is exactly the game, right? Pisco wants to not debate the four, which is the thing the Democrats want to do because he knows that's unprecedented, and then say, hey, you can't show historic evidence that this unprecedented, never before done thing that we're planning to do will have a bad effect because, of course, it's never happened, so I can't have historic evidence because it's never happened before, and then he's going to retreat to this, oh, but what hypothetically if we did this two-seat thing that I actually agree to the topic, and that the Democrats don't actually
agree to
support.
The topic.
This
why are you
is,
crying? Oh, you agree to it.
This is what Pisco's doing. He is sane washing tyranny, and he knows.
This is Pisco's world.
You agree to the topic, and then you lied about it, and now you're crying. Why won't you debate something different? I'll schedule that with you.
Next question here. Big League sends another five. He says, Ryan, you keep saying tyranny, but democracy is tyranny. Do you also reject democracy?
Democracy is not tyranny necessarily. It's tyranny if it infringes on natural rights and there's some other criteria, if it becomes arbitrary, if it becomes one party, if it becomes, if there's no method for the minority to have any representation. There are ways that democracy can become tyrannical. It's not inherently tyrannical, though it can devolve into tyranny pretty easily if you're not careful.
Okay. This is a really good question because the reason I started with the Mitch McConnell quote about the people getting a say, right? The whole argument for the non-hearings of Merrick Garland is the people should have a say on the future of the Supreme Court. Well, if you hold to that, if Mitch McConnell was right about that, and if it's not problematic to have that be an incentive, why wouldn't the people's representatives, through bicameralism and presentment to the president, why shouldn't they have a say about the composition of the court? That was Mitch McConnell's rationale. So, yeah. If you think that there's something inherently tyrannical about having the court being more responsive to the democracy, talk to Mitch McConnell, but we're going to respond in kind according to the neutral self-defense principle that I laid out.
Watch the game. Oh, we want it to be responsive to the people. But again, as I just said,
why are so many YouTube lawyers like that? I just don't get it, man. If it's like a mental illness or cognitive impairment, or if it's like the politics like switch has been flipped so hard, it just like shuts down the rational mind.
If you take away the safeguards, then democracy, I agree with the super chat, can become tyrannical. So what's Pisco want to do? Oh, yes, let's have bicameralism and presentment. Let's put it through the proper process. But before we do that, let's get four more seats for the Democrats in the Senate. Let's abolish the filibuster to get rid of the procedural protections, and then we'll do the process. Ah, yes, this will prevent the 51% from voting to beat the 49% forever with sticks. This is the democracy Pisco envisions, the one where, as he said to Destiny, the people in California and New York get to run the country as Pisco prefers.
All right, so this next one, Mr. Far from Jordan for five, he says, moderator is MIA. Why is every other word from Ryan 13? Unhinged performance from Ryan. Waste of time and breath. A new low.
I think people understand that like a debate is when you're supposed to debate like a topic.
Yes.
We agree to that topic.
Yes.
And you can be like, but he's sticking to the topic. That's bad. I'm just like, okay,
yep.
Then watch Ryan give a speech or something.
Yep.
I mean, I came here for a fucking debate.
Yep.
I don't want to be like in the position of trying to stay to the norms of debate and being accused of like, I don't know, being shifty or a liar when Ryan's just being a bitch and not addressing the argument.
I came here to expose you as a snake who wants to impose tyrannical restrictions on the country, and I did.
What? Oh, so you didn't come here to debate the prompt. You came here to do some weirdo rhetoric thing that Pisco accused you of doing from the very fucking start. Okay. That's definitionally, by the way, not to be
you know, whatever. But definitionally, that is bad faith, right? This is so he admits that he literally came here in bad faith. But that's an auto win for Pisco, at least. Although he's kind of been admitting the whole time, right? Like, you came here not to debate the prompt.
That's why I came.
Good job.
Understandable perspectives. Yeah.
What? No, it's not.
I definitely try to do my best here.
Understandable perspective?
That's not what I said. Just how you both can come here. I asked understandable perspectives. Yeah, I definitely try to do my best here.
Understandable perspective?
That's not what I said. Just how you both can come to the conclusions that you do. For me, I understand.
What? Okay.
Understand how me's kind of stepping back and waiting to be called in on a couple of those moments, you know, can be a little frustrating for some people in the chat that thinks I should be a little bit more hands-on than an open dialogue typically calls for. But absolutely take all criticism as best I can personally. One other thing, guys, there is probably not enough time to get to everyone's super chats, so we'll from this point on just gonna have to take some 20s and up. But I'm gonna read all the ones that come before. Damn. Where we're at right now.
You guys are cleaning up over there.
So we got Even Lord for, this is for kind of Ryan, I guess. He said, Ryan, amazing job making Destiny rage quit on Noor.
Appreciate you, buddy. That was funny as hell.
Wait, but I watched some of that and it was actually another pathetic performance, because like at a certain point Ryan was like 9-0, 9-0, 9-0, 9-0.
At a certain point, you mean for like the first 30 minutes, right?
I know, as though that were a legal argument, and then making like just like questions about realism and whether the court actually would, in a given hypothetical, address it in a given way, just in virtue of like what you think the consequence would be. So again, examples of like non-relevant arguments that don't deal with like legal merits of stuff.
Yep.
Oh, if we want to talk about the 9-0, that's fun. Pisco is so extreme that he actually thinks that the liberal justices who voted 9-0 in favor of not letting dead states wrong. Take yeah, presidents obviously. Off the ballot were dead wrong. Maybe packing to 13 is not going to be enough for him. Maybe he needs to pack to 17 or 18. Wait, just that's so that he can get to show that I'm wash good out those liberal
wait a second,
justices.
Wait a second. That's evidence that shows that I'm good faith.
Got it wrong too.
Wait a second. That's God evidence. That's evidence
let's go
that shows
straight
that I'm
to 20 feet. Let's make it a nice round number.
So the fact that I disagree with liberal justices from time to time shows that I'm good faith, right? Like the fact that the kind of packing that is on offer here wouldn't entail particular overturnings of views that I think are some of the most egregious opinions ever means that I'm not just trying to like center on specific opinions with the exclusive goal of trying to overturn them. And that's not what it's entail. I mean, I would support this even if I knew that we weren't going to overturn Trump versus United States, even if we weren't going to overturn Anderson or Dobbs or any of these decisions. It has to do with the argument that I presented.
Pisco, okay, again, guys, you can go.
He's just like incapable of engaging with anything. What do these guys do? Okay, here's what I'm curious, because I at least like play games, so I can like say, yeah, I've been slacking off because I played Mugenix or Factorio or something. What do these guys do with all their free time? He doesn't read any court cases. He's not really reading any other like legal commentary. Maybe I guess he could be scrolling all day. Like, what is he doing with all of his free time that he has no argument to bring up related to any of this? That's just, I don't understand.
Watch what he said in his total domination debate at minute 4 hours in, 11 minutes, it looks like. He said his arguments, quote, arguments on reform and expansion of the court are at their peak, at their maximum, when we are concerned about separation of powers, because that's what the court has fucked up the most. Yes. They have totally skewed the proper separation of power on appropriations, on holding executive branch officers accountable as a matter of immigration law. And then he goes on specifically to mention the 9-0 Section 3 case as one of the examples where the court fucked up, justifying reform.
I stand by everything I said there. I stand by every single thing.
So that's why I think Pisco and 9, you know, packing to 13 might not be good enough for you. You got to wash out those damn liberal
it's all about voting in favor.
Like, there's also another argument, too, to say that, like, if the composition of the court was different, or if you had one more or two more justices that would have voted liberal, that some people might have switched that vote, too, right? Like, it might be that a couple more liberal votes would actually cause it to go not from a 9-0 to we'd have to add so many, it would be like a 10-9 decision, but it could be if you add two more, because there were concurrences there that disagreed with pretty important parts of the ruling. A 9-0 with two more could become, like, it wouldn't be a 9-2 because the three libs would join, which would make it a 6-5. Then maybe Amy would join, which would make it a 5-6, 6-5 in the other way, and then maybe Kavanaugh or maybe Gorsuch. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, but I'm just saying that, like, the idea that if it's a 9-0, adding no more, you would have to add like 10 more justices to overcome. It's not necessarily true, but it's all, this is a retarded argument anyway.
Oh, it's about percentages. It's about percentages. That's what we care about. That's it's about what
it's
the,
your quote, Pisco. You listed it.
What I agree with my own quote. And you misinterpreted, by the way, the other quote. You keep doing it, and I have to assume now you're lying because I just explained to you and what I meant and what is evident from the evidence where I was saying the virtuous aspect before he said anything about the 100 justices. So you're now knowing the line and spreading that line.
I'm asking you, please, to stop. I'm asking, justification.
It's not post hoc at all. That's clearly what I meant.
Well,
and if you watch my explanation, if you watch my explanation,
people heard what I said. The video
is quote mining in a dishonest way. You're quote mining.
I gave the timestamp. People can find the video. He said what he said.
We got to move on because I do want to circle back to some of the ones in the beginning where there were multiple.
Are you going to like take back the accusation of Josiah and Wick colluding to take you off of that panel?
No.
Fuck no.
Yeah, you'll just accuse people without any evidence, right? You'll accuse people of stuff and you have no shame whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah, Josiah,
I read all those texts. There was no collusion. Okay. There was never
Josiah,
any communication.
Josiah,
you're a worm, man. You're a worm.
If they
what can
let
I say?
Me on the panel, the same thing would have happened to
you're
him
a worm.
That happened to you tonight.
So you levy accusations without evidence. Because
we're gonna move on here. We're gonna move on here. Jacob Foreman for 10. You might want to address this, Pisco, because he is claiming you are a power-hungry bastard, just like the rest of the Democrats. Republicans won't even pass a voting integrity bill because they are afraid of power. You're a joke.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, if your read on the relative parties is that the Democrats are the ones who are power-hungry and, like, most norm-violating, then you're just, like, I think totally lost.
Yeah.
The Democrats, if anything, I think, are far too weak when it comes to having accountability and structural reform needed to guard our republic. And no, my argument that I levied here is neutral in its terms. The only way in which it inures to the benefit of the Democrats is that the injured party, as a result of the of the initial violation here, was the Democrats. That's why, just in the same way as if someone attacks you, right, the benefit of self-defense is given to the defender and not to the attacker. And that should be understandable to people who, like, you know, comprehend basic self-defense.
Well, okay, I feel pretty attacked with all this Senate packing and court packing coming from the Democrats. Better defend myself.
Okay, Ryan, we got one for you.
With all this Senate packing and court packing coming from the Democrats. Better defend myself.
Okay, Ryan, we got one for you too here. C. Gotch 87. I'm trying to go back and forth here like a kind of like a zigzag. Ryan needs another Crucible debate course. This is just sad from him, from C. Gotch 87.
I appreciate that. I think actually if you go back and watch my debates, you'll see that I never take this approach. And one of the questions that you might ask yourself is, why would I do it here and never before? Never before have I taken this approach. And the reason
not address the prompt and lied about it,
because the gravity of the situation demands exposing what is actually happening here.
I've never been totally irrelevant and horrible and embarrassing before. I did this because I needed to do a meta little performance for the Facebook dads.
Damn.
Okay. We got to circle back here. Big League Drew asks, to both, how long has your family been living in the United States?
A real long time. Depends on which side.
What?
I don't quite know off the top of my head how many generations. It's it forks quite a bit. So depending on which side of the family tree, between like one and many, many, many.
That's a really weird question, right?
Many generations, there's a mix.
And the quick follow-up before Pisco answers, this is also to both. How do you think you'd feel if you didn't eat breakfast today?
Normally hungry, but you know, I pretty ramped up on adrenaline right now, so I don't think I'd notice.
All right, go ahead.
I did have breakfast, and so I can't answer that question. I did have breakfast. As to the longevity, I was born in this country. I'm first generation. My parents were not. I'm not going to get into how many years, but I was born here.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys getting that answered. Big League Drew has been on one with the questions here, which we appreciate. Truth Revolt TV for 5 says, James, step in and do something about this trash debate. Why should I stay subscribed when you bring on low tier debate?
It's obviously a founding stock dog whistle. Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. They're asking, you know, like how rooted is your family in America? Are they European enough? That's what it sounds like to me.
Haters, I don't get to decide how people choose to debate on the thing. I can just say, you know, is that a concession or let's stay on the topic? And then, you know, after that, that's kind of what.
I think you did fine with moderation.
Appreciate it. Everybody's gonna have an angle. I'm trying to be okay. We're almost done with these last couple here. Appreciate you guys.
Wait, what is this? Goes over your debate. Wait, how long was this? Or how long does this last?
The Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution and the Due Process Clause. So here we have due process and here we have equal protection. You can sue for a violation of due process as such, right? Is your cause of action arises under the constitutional provision itself. Oh, thank you so much for the super chat. You don't need further enactment from Congress. Congress couldn't get rid of the Due Process Clause by just passing a law saying, we're not enforcing the Due Process Clause anymore.
Oh.
States would still be allowed to enforce the Due Process Clause, the Equal Protection Clause. Like, that's why there are constitutional amendments. We don't want to give Congress the authority to just eviscerate all of our amendments with simple legislation.
Of course.
And so the other parts of the 14th Amendment, this was a point raised by the Anderson petitioners who were right and robbed in this bullshit opinion. They were right. Other parts of the Constitution of the 14th Amendment are self-executing. And Ryan gives the whole game away on this point. How? Do you know what he says? When the state disqualifications are brought up to him, do you know what he says? And by the way, not just state disqualifications back in the 19th century. There's a state disqualification right now for a man who was disqualified for January 6th. His name, look it up. Look it up, assholes.
Is this in New Mexico?
Coy Griffin.
Or Arizona?
Look it up. This man stands disqualified. This man stands disqualified under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment for state office because of January 6th. No, we have Patrick. Yeah, Patrick. But no. Do you know what he says about... He says it's okay, right? He says, oh, well, that's state governments. Of course, state governments have the right to enforce Section 3. Well, then, by your own logic, Section 3 is self-executing, right? The states are enforcing...
Just not self-executing for federal office. The argument is nonsense.
Yeah. Section 3. In other words, Congress didn't have to put in legislation to make Section 3 viable. Congress didn't have to put legislation to make Section 3 enforceable because the states are able to directly enforce Section 3. So you've answered the self-execution part, and you've answered it. It is self-executing. Now, what the court is trying to do and what people try to do is they want to split the baby here and say, oh, well, it's self-executing for states, but it's not self-executing for the federal government.
What does self-executing mean? Is it the idea that it's not challenged? Self-executing means that... I don't even like the term, but maybe I'm retarded. Maybe there's a reason why this term exists. If a law is there, then the law is in effect. That's it. So, like, if there is a law that says... There shall be no president who has not attained the rank of Grand Master in StarCraft II. Then, and that's like in the Constitution, then that's it. That's the law, the Constitution. You wouldn't be like, well, okay, so somebody wants to run for president. They've only ever gotten to Diamond in StarCraft II, right? Well, did Congress pass a law enforcing that part of the Constitution? Congress doesn't need to pass a law enforcing that part of the Constitution. The Constitution is in full effect. Of course it is. Self-executing. It's there. It's in effect. You would never question whether or not Congress wrote a law to enforce that part of the Constitution. Of course it's in effect. That's what self-executing means.
For federal offices. But of course it makes no sense. It's just a failure to understand
basic
the typical
law,
powers
anything.
Associated with running elections for president in the United States. Because traditionally, the power when it comes to regulating elections is divided when it comes to legislative elections. Right? It's traditionally divided. States have authority, but Congress can alter them. Right? States have authority as a default presumption. And they do, by the way. They have exercised that authority. As recently as this year, we were having different states, I think in Nebraska, other examples, who are testing whether or not a candidate is bona fide. Right? Think about that. Think about the patchwork from that. States are testing whether you're a bona fide candidate, whether you're in good faith a candidate, having like signature requirements for being on the ballot. Those are like independent, self-standing, substantive rules, limitations that you're putting on ballot access for a candidate. So states already...
In what case is it not self-executing? Well, there would have to be some provision written in. Like if it were to say that so long as Congress passes a law, then nobody with brown hair could be president, right? Like if there was some, what do you call this in grammar in English? Conditional clause or something? I don't know what the fuck you would call it. But like if there was something like that, then maybe. But generally speaking, everything in the Constitution is law. You don't need, I mean, and law is law. You don't need more to enforce the law. It is the law. Like... It's up to, I guess, Congress and then the president eventually on how to enforce the thing, but...
He exercises authority. They already do it. They already exercise that authority when it comes to federal legislative elections. And they do it not just on the constitutional requirements for office, but also independently created state requirements for office, for ballot access, I should say. Now, there's a limit here. There's a limit on how much like truly powerful requirements you can impose for access to the ballot and for access to office, right? You can't really exceed the qualifications for office in the Constitution. But for ballot access, you are able to put in some rules. Otherwise, what, could 20,000 people just break an election system by everyone saying, hey, I want to be on the ballot for this, for that? They are allowed to put some limitations on for ballot access. And no one short of Neil Gorsuch, while he was a circuit court judge, or it might have been Kavanaugh, I think it was Gorsuch, held that states are allowed to disqualify you for other constitutional requirements. This was in a Colorado appeal. And in fact, time in the election process.
Okay. Is there any other point to this?
Like enforcement of Section 3 afterwards. They did. They're allowed to. That doesn't address the argument. If you go to the debates about why they implemented it, right? What did they say? Method to enforce Section 3. Four of them. And I think we have something to say about that. Just because we acknowledge as a powers perspective that he ignores Wonky Mark. What am I trying to say here? When it's convenient, you cite Supreme Court precedent. When it's not convenient, Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
When is it also not convenient? Try Chevron doctrine. Try the opinions regarding removal of the president, Humphrey's executor. Whenever Supreme Court precedent is inconvenient to the conservative end, Ryan is totally fine, and this Supreme Court majority is totally fine to fucking toss it.
Yep.
So just notice when the deferring is happening. The deferring to case law only occurs when it's convenient.
Correct.
The deferring to Congress also only is conferred when convenient. We defer to Congress when it comes to, for example, let me think. Maybe on the maybe a good example of this is Chevron, or maybe an example of this is some of the executive, like calling forth statutes, some of the deployments of the militia, even hiding it, and their claimed authority for it. Answer: vagueness. The vagueness on what the term legitimacy of the court is even supposed to reference. Because if legitimacy of the court means like the need to, but like when you're talking about track records and what cases have you done? All right, let's start first with some housekeeping, or the meaning of the term jury. SEAL Team 6 to murder your political opponent.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.